Temptations, the start of our hump day. It's 15 minutes after 9 o'clock. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein. Welcome in to this quality effort known as WRJN. It's time now for a community conversation sponsored by the St. Monica's Senior Living. You'll be hearing more about St. Monica's Senior Living in just a few minutes. But please welcome to your radio friend from the mighty 21st Senate District, State Senator Van Wongaard. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
It's been an interesting month. I have no complaints, sir. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Getting over a little bronchitis. Timing with this wonderful Wisconsin weather. You never know what it's going to do, but looking forward to a nice warm spring here, hopefully soon.
Are you on a speakerphone right now?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to?
Do I sound like I'm in a tunnel?
You do. Can we?
Yes, sir. Is that better?
That's much better. Unless you want to become speaker, you might want to be on a speakerphone.
No thanks.
No, you're okay with Robin Voss being speaker?
I am good. That's the other house. I would rather be in the Senate. Actually,
why is that?
Well, because, number one, you run every 4 years, and it's a little bit different atmosphere because you only have 33 senators. You have 99 assembly representatives, so it's a little bit more of a madhouse over there when it comes to trying to get stuff done. It's a little more challenging because you have 99 people to convince.
Where are you this morning?
I am in Racine this morning, and I'll be heading out to Burlington here shortly, going out to the volunteer luncheon for the volunteers who come out to the Union Grove campus for the Veterans Administration and come out and help. So go out and honor those volunteers at a little luncheon that they have for them.
Speaking of Burlington, we had the outgoing mayor of Burlington, Bob Miller, on the show last week. This was in the wake of his loss for reelection, and I thought it was really credible of him to come on the program. It's tough to lose an election. It's tough to be rejected publicly. How many elections have you lost?
Let's see. I have lost two, actually. I lost my run for the assembly in 2006 by a few hundred votes, and that was my first try at running for state office. And then I got recalled in 2012 because I stuck to my principles and voted for the governor and supported Act 10.
Whether you were talking to Mayor Miller, who you may see later on today in Burlington, or anybody, whether they be in public life or just privately, what would you tell them, Senator Wongaard, about getting over trials and tribulations in life?
Well, Bob and I have already had a discussion already a little bit, and Bob's a really good friend. I've known Bob for probably several decades now. He served on the Racine Sheriff's Department when I was on the Racine Police Department. We worked together on training issues and stuff like that over the years. And so I got to have a pretty good relationship with him. And, you know, you tend to learn how to deal with other people's issues. And sometimes it's a little more challenging when it becomes you that has the loss. And I don't know, I look at it this way. I think that, especially in Bob's case, he's been there 8 years. He's done an awesome job. And Bob's not the kind of guy that's going to just all of a sudden drop everything and walk away because he lost a race. Bob is going to stay plugged in to the community, and he is going to continue to be a servant to the community because that's Bob. And he didn't do it for any other reason than to, I think, make Burlington a better place. So I'm looking forward to spending some time with him over the summertime. We're going to still be involved in different projects and stuff, I'm sure, and getting to know the new mayor and working with the new mayor. And I'm sure that Bob is going to work hand-in-hand with the new mayor also.
One of the things that I suggest to people when they are suffering loss in their lives, no matter what that loss is to find ways to serve others as part of their own process and part of their own healing. One of the things about being a public servant, as you are, obviously it's your job, but it literally is your job to serve the community. And how much does that impact your own personal life and your own relationships?
Boy, that's we'd have probably a couple hours to actually go into detail with that. It's when you're a public servant, you are always in the public eye, and you have people that like what you're doing, people that don't like what you're doing, people that hate you, people that love you, and it might be for one specific issue because that's what's affecting their personal life at the time. But it definitely does draw the family into that public life, and sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's not such a good thing. So not only does the individual that makes the decision to get into public life have to deal with those issues, the immediate family members have to deal with those issues also, because depending on what level you're at and, you know, what controversies come up, they're always targets too. And so it makes it a little challenging when, you know, you can deal with issues when people are coming after you as the individual. You know, you have mechanisms to be able to address those things. But when it's your family coming under fire and you can't be with them every minute, you know, to help deflect what other people might say or do to them, it makes it a little challenging, and it is kind of difficult sometimes to be able to deal with that, you know, because they are going to be under fire. You know, so that is one thing that I think, when you step into this, I didn't step into becoming a elected official just on my own. I had to sit down and pray about it, and my wife and I sat down and prayed together about it, and we made the decision together. And that this is where, at this point in time, I needed to be with my walk, with my faith, and with my family, and I had the ability to be out there and be a voice for people that couldn't have a voice. So, I mean, it's all part of that. It sounds a little corny maybe, but yeah, that's the truth. You know, it's about trying to do for others to make our community a better place.
He is the pride of Racine Lutheran High School, 1970 graduate. He is the state senator from the 21st District, Senator Van Wongar. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversation. So, Trump or Cruz?
I actually am supporting Ted Cruz. And I am. He has my vote. He has my support. I think that he's the individual at this point in time that can unify the Republican Party and get us out of the spiraling downfall that we've had for the last 8 years with our current president that has kind of led us into it's like an abyss. It scares me when we have individuals that are running for office. You know, one is an announced socialist, you know, that wants to have a 95% tax and, you know, everything for everybody and da-da-da. And then we have Hillary, who's on the other side, that I wouldn't trust her any farther than I could throw all of the candidates. And then on our side, we have Mr. Trump, that I just don't like his approach, and I don't like his condescending attitude. And I don't know where he's at, because he's been all over the board. So I'm very skeptical about what he says. Cruz has been the only constant that has survived to this point in the primary process. So that's my guy, and I hope that that the state of Wisconsin is, which we have gone for Cruz at this point, and I'm hoping that he gets along and we get to the convention, we get this thing past us.
Donald Trump has a condescending attitude?
Well, that's the first thing that drew my attention to him, you know, when he was saying disparaging remarks against women. And there's absolutely no need to be going there. You know, when you're negative to people, boy, that's what you project and that's what you get. And I'm sorry, you just can't change your spots. I don't think that he's going to be able to change. I think he's going to continue to do that because he doesn't respond to anybody. You know, he doesn't owe anybody anything. He makes that remark all the time, you know. I don't know. I don't want to judge the guy, but I just don't like the approach on how he approaches, you know, some things. And it's not about just making deals. You know, it's one thing to make deals and lose money, but it's another thing when you're making deals and people's lives are in the balance. I think that it's a little bit different issue we have at that point.
He is State Senator Van Wongar. This is Glenn Klein on this morning's Community Conversation, brought to you by St. Monica's Senior Living. When someone you care about needs a little help, maybe it's time to look into assisted living at St. Monica's. For 45 years, St. Monica's has been providing compassionate, person-centered care for their residents on North Green Bay Road in Racine. St. Monica's really is like home with great food, a loving staff, and a lot of activities to participate in. One of the things people love about St. Monica's is their beautiful Catholic Mass that is in their chapel that's hosted Protestant services as well, and all religious denominations are welcome. St. Monica's 7th Annual Senior Health Fair and Open House is coming up, too, on April 20th from 9 o'clock in the morning until 1. Come for free health screenings, door prizes, and more. You can take a tour of St. Monica's to see for yourself why it's so special. The move to assisted living is a big decision. Come see why St. Monica's is the right choice for so many. Visit stmonicasseniorliving.com to learn more, and be sure to attend St. Monica's Senior Living Health Fair and Open House on April 20th. St. Monica's Senior Living on North Green Bay Road in Racine, where you are the heart of their home. You ever been over to St. Monica's, Senator?
Oh, I was just going to say, what an absolutely beautiful campus. They are. It's really astonishing the work that they're doing over there. It's totally going to be it's already a quality facility, but it's going to just be absolutely awesome when they get this vision completed. It's a pretty cool place. So if you have an opportunity and you've got the ability to go spend an hour or two over there, you know, with their open house, it would be a really, really advantageous thing for anybody from the community to go see what's happening here locally. I mean, we got so many good things. I was at Brookside in Kenosha yesterday for an expansion groundbreaking. They're doing about a $19 million expansion down at Brookside on Washington Road in Kenosha. And that's their county facility, an absolutely gorgeous facility, absolutely gorgeous facility. So we do have a lot of good things going on here locally.
And there's been some good things, much to the dismay of a lot of critics, that happen in the legislative sessions. There's going to be a bunch of bill signings coming up. Which do you think are amongst the most important things that got passed by the legislature in the last session?
Well, we had a lot of bills. When you get towards the end of the session, of the 2-year session, which we just finished up, you know, there's always a whole bunch that, you know, doesn't quite make it onto the agenda, and you know, you feel kind of bad that they didn't. So you go back to the drawing table and you get those ready to bring up in the next session, tweak a couple things here and there, you know, to make sure that they do get on the agenda. But we had a bill signed by the governor that dealt with increasing penalties for putting cameras in locker rooms, which actually originated in Pleasant Prairie, and that was Representative Kirkman who brought that forward. I worked with her on that issue, and we got it through the legislature pretty much unanimous. And so that one's already been signed by the governor. We have one that closed loopholes with hit-and-run drivers. So we had a guy that actually, this originated up in Green Bay, and this individual was struck while he was in his wheelchair, and the offending operator was alleged to have been intoxicated and slammed into this wheelchair and said he thought he hit a garbage can, so he didn't stop. Well, obviously, witnesses saw the wheelchair go up over the hood, and this guy never stopped to really take a look. He did, but didn't. He said he didn't, so because they couldn't prove that he didn't know it for sure, they couldn't tag him for the hit and run to a pedestrian. So we closed some loopholes with that now the DAs don't have to prove that the person actually knew in their head that everyone's got to get out and look to make sure what they actually struck.
One of the things that really incensed you was the fact that the cannabinoid CBD oil legislation did not get passed. It got stopped up by some of your colleagues in the Republican Party in Madison. Yep. What happened there, and how are we going to move that thing forward?
Well, we had a couple of senators that they just had an issue with the bill there. They believe that they want to regulate CBD oil as opposed to what our legislation was doing, was just allowing possession of it and decriminalizing it here in Wisconsin. And the one senator is the chairperson of the health committee, and you know, she just felt, you know, really passionate about that, but she stopped it up because she's on the Senate organizational committee, and she was able to say no, she didn't want to schedule it. And then president of the Senate, Senator Lozick, she went with her, and so that was 2 votes, so it didn't get on the agenda. And then it wasn't allowed to be pulled to the floor. So we had 29 senators that were supporting it. We had voice vote over in the assembly, so that's basically unanimously. and it came through all the committees, so two people held it up. So we're just going to work to make sure that doesn't happen in the January session, and we'll make sure that we get that law passed. So, and we're working with Paul Ryan and our federal legislators to do this on a federal level. We have H.R. 1635, which is addressing it on the federal level to decriminalize it and take it off of being a controlled substance.
And of course,
so you will be able to transport it then over state lines once that's been done.
And of course, it is a medication that helps children with seizures.
Seizures, yeah. And this is just devastating to some of these families. It's absolutely unbelievable when you have a child that is seizuring hundreds of times, and in some cases more than 1,000 times a day. To see these children going through these seizures and not having any cognizant moments, and what type of life is that with a family having to deal with these distresses that their children are going through. So in about 36% of the cases that have used this CBD oil, it has either diminished or totally alleviated those seizures. So a lot of people that are looking at this don't know why it does it. It's something in this oil that does it. Doesn't get you high. It's non-psychotropic. And it is a good way to address some of those issues that those individuals have. It's not a silver bullet, but it's another thing that, you know, can give these people hope.
He is the state senator from the mighty 21st District, Van Wongard, headed up to Burlington this morning. Please say hello to Mayor Bob Miller there up there when you see him. And thanks so much for serving and for your time as always.
I will surely do that. Glenn, thank you. You guys have a great day and enjoy Racine County and the district, because there's a lot of stuff to do, folks.
Thank you, sir. There he goes, Senator Van Wongard. This community conversation on WRJN has been brought to you by St. Monica's Senior Living Center. The great Tom Carco and your news is next on WRJN.
Take part in a Madison tradition in the 35th annual Crazy Legs Classic on Saturday, April 30th. Register today for the 8K run or 2-mile run. Visit Crazy Legs Classic.